Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling into darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. All this month, ladies and gentlemen, we've been celebrating Black History. And we're going to continue to celebrate Black History since this is Black History Month. And hopefully you are enjoying these documentaries that we're bringing to you. And today is one that's really going to make you think. I ran across something, this documentary, and it was entitled, Black People Are Heading Into a Second Slavery. Black people are heading into a second slavery. Do you believe that black people are heading into a second slavery? Well, Dr. George Frazer, I don't know if this lecture was there in Denver, Colorado, or do he lecture there in Denver, Colorado? Anyway, he has this lecture, this teaching on black people are heading into a second slavery. So get close to your radio and listen.
The sexiest thing that a black man can do today is to lead. Probably that's sexy. You want to turn sisters on? Lead. I speak from experience. Yes, I am black. For those of you who were not entirely sure, that is the beauty of our culture and race. We come in all shapes and sizes and skin tones and hair textures, lots of options. Out there, brothers and sisters, no need to stray. Say that because I've been married to the same sister.
Come on.
I said sister.
All right.
Come on. 45 big ones. That's 4 or 5. People ask me all the time, Dr. Frazer, what is the secret to staying married to the same sister for 45 years? And it's a one-word secret: amnesia. 45 years, Nora Jean's going to do something stupid, I'm going to do something stupid. We discuss the stupid things that we have done, Bishop. We reach middle ground, we bless it and release it, never to bring it up again. And we go about raising our family, loving our children, and serving our people. Till death do us part. That is the key to success in the black community. A strong black family. A strong black family. And that is a whole another subject which I will put a pin in, because we just don't have time to unpack that. But it's huge. Now, all that needed to be said today has already been said. I got here at 8 o'clock this morning. I sat patiently and listened to 60, 70 brothers and sisters speak with brilliance, with intelligence, with calm, and collaboration. It was just a beautiful thing to see. And they covered everything that you could possibly want to cover. So, A, I applaud you for that, Benzel. I know you often call yourself Denzel.
Everybody else calls you.
But you are thebomb.com. You really are. You are about and for black people. I love you for that. You are, in fact, a race man, as I am a race man. That we have committed our time, talent, and treasure to the investment and the upliftment of black people first. I didn't say only, but I said first. And I love you for that. So let me say this to you from my heart. If I could not be me, I would want to be you. You're a bad brother. I appreciate you. And the people that you coalesced around a powerful vision for the future of black folk in Denver. Now, you are going to have obstacles. One of my favorite quotes is from Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius was one of the five great Caesars. And it was Marcus Aurelius who said that the impediment to action advances action. That what stands in the way becomes the way. Let me say that differently. Where there is no obstacle, there is no way. When God gives you an assignment, when you're ready, the next thing God does is places an obstacle in front of that assignment. And your job, your assignment, is to get over, around, through, under the obstacle. And when you prove to God that you can do that, God checks off a box, gives you an attaboy or an attagirl, and then you get a new assignment. And as soon as he gives you a new assignment, an obstacle is put in your way. And your job at that moment in time is to find a way over, around, and through the obstacle. And for 400 years, Africans in America have found a way over, around, and through the obstacle. And when we look back on our lives, we understand that the obstacle for us is the way. We are an awesome and beautiful and powerful people. And we need to act like it.
All right.
And maybe the best thing that has happened to us, because God works in mysterious ways, maybe the best thing that has happened to black people is Donald Trump. That racist, narcissistic fool has demonstrated to us what he thinks of us, and what so much of America thinks of us. Now, we have always suspected, we have always complained, we have always saber-rattled what we now know to be true. America elected Donald Trump. And we so much and so many of America think about us. But we've had that suspicion we can almost say it ain't nothing new. But now it's been proven, your mom. It's been proven. So this is a good thing. This, I think, will motivate us to understand that we are in a state of urgency. We are in a state of emergency, if you will. Interesting article in the Wall Street Journal. I hope you saw it. Interesting. It said that financial illiteracy is an American problem. That's what the Wall Street Journal said. Financial illiteracy is an American problem. And demanded that America, both the public, private, and independent sector, invest billions of dollars in bringing America to financial literacy. That's what the Wall Street Journal said in an editorial. Now, we know that when white folks catch a cold, black people catch pneumonia. So if financial illiteracy is an American problem, it is 10 times the problem in our community. We understand that. Therefore, it is time for us to put economic development and wealth creation, closing the income and wealth gap between blacks and whites in America. I did not say blacks and Hispanics. I did not say blacks and Asians. I did not say blacks and Arabs. Right. I said blacks and white folk. That's what I said. Because that's where our issue is. It is time for us to close that gap. It is time for us to put economic development on the front burner. It is time for us to create a mantra and slogan around that idea. And that mantra and slogan, as I have been saying for the last 5 years, is that economics is the new black power. Economics must now become the new black power.
All right.
And this cannot be done without the cooperation, the investment, and the engagement of the most important, the most trusted institution in our culture, and that is the black church. Yes. Yes. They must touch it. And so we must devise a system that allows us morally and spiritually to fulfill Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That is what the Bible says. Interesting article on the front page of USA Today, Bishop. Thank God it was below the fold, but it was on the front page. And here's in essence what the article said. It said that if nothing changes among African Americans, that was another article. This one said that African American baby boomers will be the first generation of Africans in America to raise another generation of Africans in America that will not do better than them. So in the 400-year history of our people in this country, we are the only generation to raise another generation that will be worse off. We need our asses kicked. Forefathers must be rolling over in their grave.
All right.
You can count me out of that statistic. I will not participate, and you must not participate in that statistic. Understand that everything we do for our children, just as everything our parents did, they did for us. We cannot allow this to happen. Not on our watch. Further investigation, further studies, further statistics tell us As written in the Institute of Policy Studies, a major report, a 200-page report on the wealth gap between blacks and white folks in America. Check it out on Google, the Institute of Policy Studies, April of 2016. Here is the conclusion of that study, and I quote from the study, if nothing changes among African Americans, it will take them 228 years, if ever, to close the wealth gap between blacks and whites in America, but it will take Hispanics 89 years. It will take us 228 years, if ever. I didn't add if ever. That's in the report. That's almost the amount of time it took us to become free from slavery. But why will it take 89 years for Hispanics and take us 228 years? Well, the answer should be obvious to everyone. What is the most important value in the Hispanic community? Familia. Family. Therefore, they have two working on their economic state, and we have one.
Damn.
Cover story, Fortune magazine, September of last year. Very interesting story about the wealth gap between blacks and whites in America. Here's the conclusion of that study. By 2053, just 10 years after the country is projected to become majority non-white, black median families will own zero wealth if current trends continue. 20 years later, Latino median families will follow suit. White median families will continue to own six figures, $247,500. Fortune magazine, last year. So the prediction, with all of the think tanks in Washington, D.C., is if we don't get our act together, we will have no money in a market-based economy and a democratic capitalist society. We will work our way, brothers and sisters, into a second slavery. Now, that's not hype. I'm not exaggerating. The shots have been fired. The flares have been fired. So we can either listen and do something, or we can continue to party. Make Grammy nominated rap songs. Buy our red bottoms. Gucci's and Ferragamo's. And wear all this stuff.
Right.
Well, let's just see if white folks are right. Now that brings me to a crossroads that we have to engage in 1965. Daniel Patrick Moynihan at the wish of Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson, did a major report and study on the state of the black family. Was called the Moynihan Report. Daniel Patrick Moynihan was a New York liberal Harvard graduate. Did his work, published the report, and basically the report said the following. What he noticed through statistical gathering is that the out-of-wedlock birth rate among black families was five times that of white families in 1963 and 64, and ultimately published in 5. Out of wedlock births were at about 25% then, and in the white community it was about 5%. We were five times higher. And Daniel Patrick Moynihan basically said in his own, you know, northeasterner way, that brothers and sisters, this is what the statistics are. But the federal government cannot legislate your screwing. That's on you. We can't tell you when and who to screw. But here's what's happening as a result of what you're doing. Your rates are five times higher than our rates. And if that trend continues and you do nothing about it and you ignore it, within 20 to 40 years, your out-of-wedlock birth rate will get to the 60s and 70% that will affect the black family structure and ultimately lead you into poverty. Oh, the report was published and we were pissed. Racist Patrick Daniel Patrick Moynihan. And we did nothing. And what happened? Exactly what they reported. So, we don't have to listen to the statistics. We can just continue doing what we're doing. That's if you want to do that. I have chosen not to do that. Because although the prediction is that by 2053 this will occur to us, if you read the national coverage of the front page story in December of last year in the Boston Globe about black people and their money in Boston, it made national news. It's all on the national news, Bishop. Yeah. Boston, one of the wealthiest cities in America. Mm-hmm. The home of America's most elite education, Harvard, MIT, Boston College, Bryn Mawr, Sarah Lawrence, Boston University. Here was the major headline in the Boston Globe. I read to you the headline. The headline was so egregious, even the headline had to qualify the end result. Here's the headline. This is no typo. The median net worth of black Bostonians really is $8. I said $8. One of the wealthiest cities in America. Black Bostonians are worth $8. Now, I thought the prediction in Fortune magazine is that we would be broke by 2053. Well, black Bostonians are about 20 years ahead of time. We don't have to do anything, but I'm recommending that we do something. I'm recommending that we tackle the problem, and I really see it. I talked about this earlier. I really see it as a problem because I'm an entrepreneurial thinker and have been all my life. I see it as a massive opportunity to provide education and training to 46 million black people. That's what I see. Massive. It's something that we're capable of doing ourselves. So, with that thought in mind, 3 years ago, I began thinking through what was the system that we needed to put in place to institutionalize financial education in the black community. Where must it first be housed and then expanded and extended to? And there's only one clear answer if you think clearly about this. It must take seed in the historically black church. There are 85,000 black churches in America. 25 million black people go to church every single Sunday. We are the most morally grounded, spiritually rooted people in this country. We are the most church-going people in this country. You cannot do anything of significance in black America without touching or it being led. Every major movement in this country, every major good thing that has ever happened to black people in this country was led by the black church, leadership from the black church. So it's got to start there. Now, there are 1,500 references to money and economics in the Bible. So this is no strange subject. We just need to bring the subject up more frequently. So, we launched this year WINS. WINS. WINS is an acronym. Wealth in the Name of Our Divine Son. We know who that is. I created a little piece of poetry, Under Winds, and it says, "For the wind, for it is the wind that makes us soar, and it is the winds that bring change." Winds. There will be financial literacy centers, wealth building centers. That's how we're branding them. Now, I have a little experience with branding. I spent 13 years in branding and marketing and leadership positions with Procter & Gamble. Now, anybody know anything about branding and marketing? They are the beasts of branding and marketing. They invented branding. I sat at the feet of the masters for 13 years. I was the guy that was partly responsible for the launch of Pampers, which disrupted the cloth diaper category 40 years ago. So I know a little bit on how to package, design, and do the brand architecture for something as powerful as a brand that needs to bring us to literacy. We introduced it last year at the Power Networking Conference. We said, here's what's coming. And we launched it this year at the Power Networking Conference. We recruited. Now, I did the prototype. I have a WIN Center in my church for the last 14 months. So I was sort of the test market. We're now doing what they call in the branding world a soft launch. So we've got 15 people around the country. We will be meeting in October for the final train the trainer. Each person directing a WIN Center must have some history in the financial services industry, and then they must get a CFEI, which is a certification in financial education instruction. You see, because you are a stockbroker doesn't mean that you can teach financial education. It is no different than basketball. Michael Jordan is the baddest basketball player who have ever played the game, but he would fire himself as a coach of a team that he won because he cannot coach. But Phil Jackson was a mediocre basketball player, and Phil Jackson has 11 rings, and 9 of them are for coaching. Because you can play basketball doesn't mean that you can teach basketball. Because you can read doesn't mean that you can teach reading. Because you can do math doesn't mean that you can teach math. You have to be certified. I have 2 African-centered charter schools, and you cannot teach basic reading in my charter schools without certification in reading. But why would we allow our people to teach our people something they're not certified in teaching? And this is especially true for black people because we learn differently.
Yeah. Right.
We're oral, visual, tactile, kinesthetic, and auditory. We're oral, visual, tactile. White folks that teach our inner city children can't teach them.
Right.
Because they do not understand our learning and teaching style. We are an archival, we are an oral people. White folks are archival. They write. They read. Let me say that differently. They write and they read that this world is still being run by books that were written 500 years ago.
All right, we're going to have to stop the tape right there today, but boy, that's very interesting. We'll get back with that on tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you so kindly for joining us today. That's it for today. Wow. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner. Right here on Ghostbusters.